The Man in Line with Andy Wint. Men's Radio.
Hi, good afternoon. Welcome to Man in Line on Mates Radio. Open line today. Remember, tomorrow it'll be the opinions of the students in year 12 and 13 of Castle Russian High School. But today, your chance to have your say. And you heard that story in the news. Loonies of Ramsey is closing. It's closed today. Getting ready for a closing down sale. The final trading date yet to be announced. But wow. Loonies say it's been a hard decision to make, but largely down to the challenging retail environment, as well as factors involving supply, demand and property ownership as well. They've been operating for 85 years, of course, previously in Peel, but Loonies of the Isle of Man gone or going after 85 years. Wow. Got any thoughts? Text, email, call and WhatsApp just shows you how the retail environment is changing and challenging. Talking of which, Tim dropped a note in yesterday and just said, whatever happened to that pop-up shop for the TT fortnight? Has it actually happened? The former M&Co shop in Market Street in Douglas, yours, I think, for £7,000 plus VAT for a fortnight. Well, and the leaking roof to boot as well, although Gaia's close by. We haven't heard that. Anybody? We don't know about it, whether anybody's taken this up, whether there is going to be a TT shop in the old M&Co for TT fortnight. If you can tell us, and we'd really like to know. Did you go last night to QE2? 100 people plus. There's about the same number that went to Castle Russian High School on Monday for the second of the listening to you dues that the government has put on. If you were there, I'd be happy to hear what your views are. As to really, well, what you think of the government. That's really what it's down to. Mr. Cannon said this is a reset, listening to people of the Isle of Man. So last night at the QE2 High School, government apparently is looking at ways to digitise as part of efforts to become more efficient and productive, according to the Treasury Minister. Dr. Allenson, who was in attendance for the second of those four Listening to You roadshows, which allows you to put questions directly to government ministers. As I mentioned, Dr. Allenson was there last night.
I'm Richard. I'm here to speak to Alfred Cannon about a number of concerns I have and the Treasury about regarding the tax increases and further tax increases that I see to come.
I feel it's my duty and obligation to keep in touch with what's going on. I don't expect all my fellow commissioners to be here, but I think some of us should be here to get a feel for what's happening in the big wide world.
Yeah, so we came here today because we've got businesses based in Peel. Peel is a very liked place in the island, but I do feel it's a very left behind place in the island. I'm here for my company and I've got a handful of things.
Just a few of the reasons why residents turned up to the West's Listening to You event, marking the second of four roadshows allowing the public to put questions directly to the Council of Ministers. Despite disappointment in the first event over a lack of Treasury representation, this time the man behind government's finances was there and attendees were making full use of his presence.
So I had people talking about pensions, state pensions, state pensions for women and the changes that have taken place with that. We talked also to people from business about things like VAT, the pressures on the hospitality sector at the moment in terms of increasing wages. Talked a lot about the minimum wage increase and the living wage. So trying to paint the picture that we've gone through an extremely difficult period over the last 18 months with high inflation, high costs, lots of businesses and individual people have had to absorb those costs. Government have had to absorb those costs. But now we're in a slightly different position of trying to look at how we have a sustainable boost for our economy and actually can build on what we have on the island now right across the public and private sector.
A lot of the issues that we've heard tonight, the baseline comes down to funding, and obviously you're the person who allocates the funds to the relevant departments each year through the budget. How tough is it for you to hear some of the concerns raised by residents, but know there's only so far you can ever go?
The main impetus of the Renewed Ireland Plan is that fiscal responsibility, that what government have to do is provide value for money. And so some of the comments today were about using new technologies, digitalisation, AI, to provide better, more effective, more productive public services. And that's what this administration is absolutely committed to doing. It is tight with their household budgets, business budgets, and national budget to get to meet all the different priorities we've got. But by working together, I'm absolutely confident we can achieve that.
Other questions raised throughout included sewage works, the population increase to 100,000 by 2037, a lack of available GP appointments, access to public sector properties, what is being done to ensure housing is affordable to buy and rent, and lastly, how government intends to restore public trust. Tonight's Listening to You event travels to the east and gets underway from 6 o'clock at Ballochmeen High School.
And you can guarantee that our own Christian Jones will be there. He's been at the previous two, and he's here for the next two as well. Go along and see him and say hello. I think he'll appreciate it. I recently read Alaman police have carried out vehicle checks to establish if any vehicles have defects. I think the police should take a drive around the Isle of Man to establish if the road surface is defective. Potholes are a real issue on most roads. I drive along. Perhaps our vehicles are in need of repairs, perhaps due to the state of the roads. Well, he could try that with the police. I'm not sure that it would work, but you never know, do you? Thanks also to notes regarding loonies. I've got plenty of comments regarding loonies, which I'll hopefully get through most of them on the programme today. And G313G, if the hospitality industry is struggling, government must be getting less VAT. If VAT is cut and reflected in prices leading to more business, surely government will be no worse off. Well, in principle, G, yes, that's the theory. The difference between theory and practice, of course, is where your daring do comes in. Do you think the government would dare to lower VAT on hospitality and not do it for other sectors of the economy? When you say hospitality, would that be for restaurants? Would it be for cafes, hotels? And if you do it for cafes, why not do it for sandwiches in supermarkets? Some people would say that's hospitality as well. So where would you draw the line? Anyway, it's a thought. Cutting tax is always an idea. Thank you also to Graham, who just said, all these people who are saying that it's sad that Looney's is closing, how many of them actually bought something from there? Not just gone in for a look. Remember, that doesn't pay the bills. And what about all those people circling, waiting for the closing down sale? Interesting. Thank you, Graham. It's very sad Looney's is closing, but just ask yourself, when did you last go there and actually buy something? Starting this month, says Jane, we receive less money into our account because of the tax increase. The wages are decreasing instead of increasing. So what's the solution? We seem to be taking less money home every month. It's ridiculous, says Jane. I'm a bit confused, says Ian on 490. I'm a bit confused seeing that the Southern Tip has imposed a 6-bag monthly limit on people. I thought I pay for the tip. The recycling centre, in my rates, says him. What really bugs me is they say there's no limit on recycling, presumably because they make money on the metal, for instance. They can't have it both ways. Please don't encourage idiots to fly tip. We can't have that because somebody can't manage to run a service. Is that true? 6 bags a month for the Southern Recycling Centre, the tip. We'll try and get that confirmed. I think this government, says Fran 762, I think this government is the worst ever in Manx history. Thank you. You've not been alive for all of them, have you, Frank? No planning granted on the Newsom site, yet a big yes to the Villiers development and gifting the developer 25% of the build cost, plus no help for retail and hospitality. Yet the Sefton Group was given a loan without any Timbal discussion. That was years ago, Fran, and they did repay it. Anyway, moving on. No help for retail and hospitality. Just through on the nod. There seems to be a full and needs to be a full and open discussion into just what's going on and just who is pulling the strings, says Fran. I think at some point you'll leave the Sefton loan behind, Fran, because it has been repaid, but you never know. Can anybody give me a fundraising contact for the TT Helicopter Fund, says Margaret in Ramsey. Do you know who to contact? Text in or WhatsApp in and tell us who the contact is for fundraising for the TT Helicopter Fund. We'll pass it on to Margaret in Ramsey. So conspiracy theorists were right regarding the Isle of Man being the testbed for digitalisation and AI technology, says John. I think it started a wee while before now. Thanks also to 847 from the evening... 847, you need to send emails to maninline@manxradio.com out of hours. If you send it through to the studio, sadly it won't get to me. But if you want to resend it to the studio now, 847, we'll certainly get to that. Thanks also to lots of comments regarding yesterday and the taxes and what exactly is happening on the taxes. And how much discussion... and how much consultation there was with taxi drivers. Barry, of course, works nights as a taxi driver, said he didn't hear anything about it or wasn't consulted on it. I'll just run through them because there seems to be noise going here and there. Basically, if you're getting a taxi at night, you're going to have to pay the higher rate an hour earlier after the body that sets taxi prices made a series of changes. The RTLC, that's the Road Traffic Licensing Committee, has brought in increases to its tariffs this week, as well as bringing Tariff 2 into force at 11 o'clock, 11 p.m. instead of midnight. So the nighttime tariff now starts at 11 p.m., not midnight. Tariff 1 has gone up from £3.50 for the first 180 yards, or 60 seconds, so that's from £3.50 to £3.80. Tariff 2 has gone to £4.70 for £4.70 for the first 170 yards. That's a 40p increase. There's also a 50p increase in the surcharge for fares that start at the airport. That's now going to be £2. It's the first time tariffs have gone up since 2022, follows a period of consultation between the RTLC and the taxi trade. Well, if you're a taxi driver, how much consultation was there? They say, the RTLC says, 39% of those surveyed by the committee supported no increases to the tariffs, basically 4 out of 10. 46% wanted to see a 1 to 5% increase. Barry, of course, was on yesterday, said he only found out about the change a week ago and believes that more notice should have been given, particularly that change to Tariff 2. So just be aware of that. Nighttime taxi users, the nighttime tariff will start at 11 p.m. and not midnight. So whether this digitization actually happens, we don't quite know. You heard this from the Comin Roadshow yesterday and exactly what's happening. But lots of people asking and just saying, what's the news on loonies? What is exactly happening? Well, the man in the know is John Moss.
This is a decided blow to Ramsey's High Street of business, synonymous with the town, indeed bearing that town's title in its name, deciding to shut the doors. The news came out the blue, not just for Ramsey residents, but all in the island. It comes as a number of other businesses say conditions are weighing against us and deciding to close. In Ramsey, Shakti Man's closure 2 years ago and Connor Cummings' coffee shop all added to nervousness in that retail district. A year ago, the then chair of Ramsey Commissioners, Finlay Williams, admitted the ambience was very difficult.
Businesses are coming and going, which, you know, it's a shame to see long-standing businesses like that losing. There's also new businesses popping up. We've got the new Peri Peri Chicken Shop, got the new Fair Trade Shop. It's a period of turmoil, which is difficult for people, but I think Ramsey as a whole is still coping and still doing well.
The business, Loonies, say it's been a hard decision to make and is largely down to a challenging retail environment, as well as factors involving supply, demand and property ownership. Looney's is shut today, April the 24th, to prepare for its closing down sale, with a final trading date yet to be announced. The family is thanking their dedicated staff and all customers for their loyalty and continued support. The company says they will not be giving interviews.
MHK for Ramsay Lawrie Hooper. Sad news when a business, which in Ramsay terms is quite big, 10 employees, says that's it.
Yeah, I mean, it's always a bit of a shock, actually, when local businesses make these decisions. I'm sure there were lots of reasons that would have gone into the decision making. But they've been a stalwart of the town for, well, as long as I can remember, at least. And so it's going to be a bit of a shake-up, I think, to the high street in Ramsay.
Places like, a couple of years ago, Shack Duman also closing its doors. It's biggish businesses like that in Ramsay that really are a body blow.
It's the linchpin, I think, businesses, I think is what you're talking about. And I think you're probably right. So I think that's definitely a wider conversation to have. So off the back of this news, obviously, I'm going to reach out to the business, and I'll reach out to the Department for Enterprise as well to make sure all the right support has been put in place for anyone that's being affected.
Ramsay MHK, Lawrie Hooper.
Well, one of them anyway. Of course, Dr. Allinson was at the listening to you last night at the QE2. If you're a Ramsay resident or a resident of the North, then I'd like to know what you think about the state of hospitality and also retail in Ramsay. Of course, it'll be a big change as the Shoprites become Tesco, so we'll see what happens there. I mean, quite well served for grocery shops in Ramsay, of course, with the big co-op, the two Shoprites and little co-op, of course, on Parliament Street. So interesting to see what happens, but of course everything will be solved by private enterprise, and private enterprise will go where the money is. So we'll see. Any thoughts? Text, email, call and WhatsApp. And Dave's with us now. Hi, Dave.
Good afternoon, Andy. How are you?
Good. What's on your mind?
I'm a taxi operator, so I just wanted to address the small taxi tariff increase which has just occurred.
Yeah.
Quite ironic that Looney's has gone out of business. There were quite a few Looney's that were posting comments on your Facebook page last night, so I just want to set the record straight, because perhaps the story wasn't quite written as clearly and as opaquely as it could have been. Basically, what we're looking at is a small increase on the starting fare. So on the day one tariff, the fare goes up 30 pence from start, from 3.50 to 3.80. There is no change to metered distance and time. So that stays exactly the same. So in other words, if you're going on an £8 fare, normally that fare would be increased to £8.30. And similarly on tariff two, that's gone up from £4.30 to £4.70. So you've got a 40 pence increase there. So if you're getting a taxi, as you normally would do on a Friday and Saturday after midnight, instead of paying £10 to Farm Hill, etc., somewhere around there, you'd pay £10.40. Now, obviously, what maybe people are kicking off about is the extra hour on tariff two, which is now being brought forward to 11 o'clock. Now, even if you're pretty swift on the road, which most drivers aren't, we're all very safe, you're looking at maybe two or three jobs an hour. Now, on the extra hour that you're given there, you're looking at an additional £10 to £15 on a driver's turnover. So it's not exactly like a lottery win. It's not like everybody's making fortunes. It's just a cursory increase trying to counteract our rising costs across the board, Andy.
Yeah, I think the points we've had from listeners, Dave, is that who do the RTLC think they are to decide when night starts? When it's always started at midnight, why does it now start at 11 p.m.?
Well, what we voted for, I mean, there was a vote on the Unite page, which we're all part of. The various options, 5% increase, 10% increase, no increase at all, or a small cursory increase. So we're all working people ourselves, so we're not immune from what's going on in the world. We're all subject to the same stresses on our pockets as everybody else, and it's something that we did very much in mind with this. The 11 o'clock thing, if you go to other jurisdictions, I went to Manchester about 6 months ago, and I jumped in a cab at 10.30, and he was on tariff two. So I asked the driver, what time does tariff two start? And he said 10 o'clock. So So just while he was ferrying me around, I did a quick cursory Google search, and he wasn't fobbing me off. It was direct. I'm going to Newmarket Races in about 10 days' time, which is near Cambridge. Their Tariff 2 kicks off at 10 o'clock. So it's not like we're out of kilter by going 11 o'clock. It does happen in other jurisdictions.
Okay. And can you tell me what's the situation at the airport now? Has that been resolved? Any chance of getting more taxis at the airport?
I think Mike was on. I'm not a South operator, Andy. I'm a Douglas East operator. No, it hasn't, possibly, due to the reasons that Mike alluded to. The ATC problem hasn't helped. So you do tend to get more than one flight arriving at once. And if more than one flight arrives at once, then we haven't got the Southern fleet to cope with it. It needs a more streamlined approach, I think, between the industry, the airport, the ATCs. Situation needs to improve for that to better itself.
I mean, is there any way that the airport can be opened up to other areas at all? Just the airport, not the south, but just the airport?
I don't think that would help, Andy. I mean, there's always been talk of all-island licensing taxis, hasn't there? And, of course, what would happen then is that every car would be in Douglas. I don't know what the answer is. I think the ball's in the airport's court, to be honest with you. Until the air traffic control situation is resolved. And, of course, in the winter, we were on the reduced flying schedule. Yeah. So there were times where there were no flights coming in for 2-3 hours, and obviously the lads aren't going to sit around on a rank waiting for a flight, which may or may not get in with the weather anyway. So it's just a numerous set of circumstances that have conspired to put a pressure on the situation down there.
But just by the same token, it's your colleagues in the south who'll be getting the grief from the public when there aren't enough taxis.
The boys do take it. They do get a lot of stick that way, and it's like anything else. It's not one thing that's causing it. It's a series of little things which are affecting it. All I can say is that the trade is working very hard to supplement the demand, and we can only do what we can do. Same with the Saturday drivers and the weekend as well. If anybody wants to come and have a night shift in my cab, it's no bowl of cherries taking drunks home. I'd much rather be one than ferry them around, Andy.
All right, okay. And just actually, I've had an email in while you've been on. What is the current penalty for anybody throwing up in a taxi? How much do you charge?
Well, that's not the golden ticket either. I'd much rather the wheels were turning rather than have to go home and clean the car. It's £100 for fouling the car, Andy, but no one's ever done it, thankfully, in my car. No other driver wants that to happen, trust me.
Appreciate that. Thanks for that, Dave. Good to hear from you.
Thanks, Andy.
Cheers, man. 29 minutes past 12. It's a shame to see so many local businesses closing, but it comes back to the old saying, use it or lose it. All the best, Mike, on 077. And here's a note in. The Isle of Man government, who own Bus Vanin, have increased taxi prices, but not increased bus fares, forcing people to abandon taxis and get the bus, says Ian. Well, Dave said it's not an arm and a leg, it is an increase. And I didn't know that the night time starts a lot earlier in other places. Now starts at 11 o'clock. Be nice to your taxi driver this weekend. £100 for filing a taxi. I didn't know that. I go out with pals maybe 10 times a year. We always book the taxi for 11:30-ish to avoid the extra charges at midnight. There'd be no point in going out if we have to go home at 10:30. I probably spend about £500 a year in pubs on my own, perhaps insignificant, but what if there's 10 people thinking the same as me, or maybe 100? Then it becomes significant. So the people who think these ideas up should think them through. Going out for a night is something to look forward to, but take that away from folk, and plus there's no bus service to get us home as well, says Alison. When's the last bus back? Is it the 11 o'clock bus, I think? Is it the weekend bus to, or is it the 11:30 to Peel on a Friday night? I've just moved here from Birmingham, says Cherry, and all I can say is get real, Manx people. You've got it so good. Everything is fine. A little perspective from the Midlands, from Jerry. Another nail in the coffin of socialisation. It won't be long before we're confined to our houses and only allowed out to work and earn credit to eat.
We do go to loonies in Ramsey, says Mary, to buy various bits, but if Ramsey commissioners looked at their parking restrictions of 1 hour, it's a no-brainer. It is just not long enough to shop and have lunch there, especially when travelling from other parts of the Isle of Man. In our opinion, the parking should go back to at least 2 hours, says Mary. Well, parking has long been a bone of contention, and particularly, of course, the disabled parking in Ramsey, which I think is it less than that? Text, email, call and WhatsApp. The saying, reach out, presumably was invented in America. We don't live there. There's a few more going forward, but it can't be me. I just switch off when somebody says these things, says Ian. Well, even the four tops, and they said it first. Taxi drivers have shot themselves in the foot, to be honest. Everyone's going to get on the buses, says Frank. We do go to Loonies. Lots more people going to Loonies, and lots more people will be going to Loonies when they announce their closing down sale. Closed today, but the closing down sale will be fairly shortly. So, did you go last night to the QE2 in Peel? Did you go and see all the ministers with Mr. Cannon and the rest of them? A lot of people, it's interesting, people were expecting, everybody thinks it's going to be question time. It really is. And somebody said it was a bit like parents' evening at school. Now, the chief minister did say he wants to get to see people face to face, and this is it. You can talk to ministers, actually, face to face. Sit down with them. There is a question and answer session afterwards, but you can go and see them face to face and talk to them. So tonight, Ballacameen High School. Doors open 5:30. Free tea and coffee. I think there's also government biscuits there, and it's on from 6 till 8 o'clock. So Ballacameen High School, and watch out for the parking at Ballacameen. Ian called to say that he'd seen an advert in a magazine for walking holidays in the Isle of Man, but said a lot of footpaths in the Isle of Man are closed or in a very poor state. There are broken stiles, overgrown paths as well, particularly some close to the coast. The route around the Clipse Reservoir was closed off, but somebody's now taken the tape down, albeit the paths are in a poor state of repair and nothing has happened to repair them. We were so proud. Remember when the Radnor Follian opened? It was such a kind of totemic thing to have the path around the coast. And our paths have long been favourites with walkers. You often see people striding away at dawn and dusk on our beautiful paths, and yet somehow some of them just seem to have fallen by the wayside, literally fallen by the wayside. If you've got any paths to give a bouquet or brickbat to, then do get in touch. I'd like to know the best and the worst path on the island. Tony's on now. Hi, Tony.
Hello, how are you doing?
Good, thanks.
Good. I've just opened this month's travel magazine from Which.
Yeah.
And there's an article about ferry travel.
Right.
And I'm afraid the Isle of Man doesn't come on very well.
What do they say?
It says, until the steam packet started in 1830, the Isle of Man could be cut off for weeks. You'd think the world's oldest continual operated ferry service would be a treasured public service. But the Isle of Man government-owned route is now the worst-rated any domestic route. Long-suffering islanders complain about poor facilities, too many cancellations, and skyrocketing prices. Plans to improve reliability by making staff sleep on board, in brackets, to respond more flexibly to bad weather, and firing those who refused provoked a union dispute.
And that's in this month's Which Travel magazine, yeah?
Yeah. And on the domestic ferry routes, they've got a list here of who they are. There's Northlink Ferries, Condor Ferries, Calmac, Rightlink, Red Funnel, and at the bottom of the league is the Isle of Man Steam Packet.
Wow. And what period is that from, does it say?
It doesn't say, actually, no.
So presumably that's earlier on this year.
Must be, yeah.
What's your opinion of that? Do you think it's fair?
I think it's pretty well right, yes. you're scared to boot now. You used to always go, I won't fly, I'll go by boat because it's always going to go, but now you never know, do you, either way.
Well, and also it seems that the times change here and there as well, and particularly if you're heading to Heysham and you're getting a train connection, that can be a bit difficult.
You've had it, yeah.
Okay, all right. Appreciate that, Tony. Thanks for calling.
No problems. Bye now.
Good. It's 24 minutes before one. Had a couple of messages yesterday regarding the fact it may be compulsory soon for pet cats. Well, it is going to be compulsory in England for cats to have a microchip by the time they reach 20 weeks of age. So what are your thoughts on, of course, if it happens there, it will probably happen here. I think the MSPCA have been reporting this. Compulsory for pet cats to be microchipped. MSPCA in 2023 had 53 cats come into their care astray, but only 14 of them were microchipped. So what's that? 39 weren't microchipped with up-to-date details to be returned. If you're a cat owner, is your cat microchipped? And if it's not, is there a problem of feral cats on the Isle of Man? I've not really heard that. There's a problem of... we won't get into that. Interesting comment on airport taxis on Manningline. I've been sitting at the airport since 10 past 11. The next flight now is due at 1:15, having got nothing of the EasyJet Bristol average. I could then get a job to Castletown at less than £10. Average the hours to wage, and there's enough cars down here for the amount of flights, apart from when three busy flights arrive at the same time. This is the only time that we might struggle. This is Richie B, obviously a taxi driver at the airport. In the middle, thank you, Richie. It's good to hear that. In the middle of this, of course, is the long-suffering consumer. And as you say, when two or three planes come all at once or within 20, 30 minutes, suddenly you have dozens and dozens of people who potentially will need a taxi, particularly the people who are coming for the first time and just expect it's an airport, there'll be a taxi. And then it isn't. So you then have three sets of people who are teed off about the whole thing. You've got the taxi driver who's missing out on a fare because they're going to be somewhere else. There's the consumer who's going to be looking around and about to find out what's what. And then the person on the Isle of Man, they're coming to visit because they're going to get it in the neck when they say, you've got an airport, why don't you have taxis there? Jenny's on. Hello, Jenny.
Hello, hi. I just heard you mention, is there a problem with feral cats on the island?
Is there?
I can confirm in Barkill Ferric, yes, there is. We moved up here 5 years ago. We brought a cat with us when we moved into the cottage, which we'd had from the MSPCA, which was a feral that had been caught with a kitten, been caught at the hospital when the MSPCA did a programme of catch and neuter, etc. And we took in this little kitten that was very, very poorly. So we already had her. We'd been here 12 months when two more kittens turned up, but before we could catch them, they disappeared. Then the following year, another kitten turned up. We took him in, and so now we've got him. And yes, all our cats are microchipped. Then the following year, another two kittens turned up in our field, which we managed to catch with the MSPCA cat trap. We were going to take them to MSPCA, but they were too cute, and we both knew that was never going to happen. So we kept those, and they've been microchipped, and they cost us an awful lot of money at the vets because they were so poorly with worms and all manner of diseases that cats get. Now, this year, so far, we've caught one feral kitten, taken that to MSPCA, because now we've got four cats we can't take in anymore. When we got home from the MSPCA, looking out down across our front garden to a garden wall in the sort of not too far distance, there were six more cats walking across there.
Six more.
Last night, we've got another feral that we're feeding in a cage with the hopes that we can catch it to take it to the MSPCA. It's now going into the cage because the issue is, went to the MSPCA to borrow their cat trap again. Because they're having all this renovation done with the cat houses, they can't take in a large amount of cats all in one go. So there is a waiting list for the cat trap so that they're going to be getting, you know, ferals in a staged manner. So we, when I put my name down about 6 weeks ago, were third on the list. So last night, three more were at our door that we've never seen before. So there's about, we've counted about 13 round here. And not so long ago, a few weeks, a lady put a post on the Isle of Man cats page saying, does anybody know if this is anybody's cat, or shall we take it to the MSPCA? They'd caught it in their polecat trap in their hen house up here in Ballykilferrick, and it looked like the ones that we're seeing here. So yeah, certainly around this area, it's a problem. And one of the cats that was here last night was a tortoise shell, and we've now found out from our vet that really only girls are tortoise shells, so we know that this is a girl, and it looked very fat. So we're expecting more cats, kittens, somewhere very shortly.
Is that? So, I mean, this is trendy upper class Ballykilferrick. Is this something in the water?
I'm not sure what it is, but the problem is, I think, yes, we've got, there's a lot of farmland, a lot of farms, lots of rodents, rabbits. Well, there were, but we hardly see any. And I think the issue now is they're coming to the house because the food supply, i.e., you know, things they could catch,
yeah,
is being wiped out. So now where do they go? And we've got a glass front door, and they actually come and sit and just look at us with big mournful eyes through the front door. And it's heartbreaking to see, but we know that very shortly there's going to be a whole bunch more when they've all had kittens.
Jenny, this can't go on.
No, it can't. It absolutely can't. We're getting overrun. With the best will in the world, we've taken in three that have cost us a fortune because they are quite poorly with worms and all the other things, cat flu, etc. We've had all ours, you know, they're up to date with the vaccinations and they're worming and fleeing, and it's not cheap. We pay with Pet Plan for each cat £17.99 per month. So it's not a cheap thing, but I think this is why nobody wants to do anything with them. And unfortunately, the situation with the MSPCA at the moment, they can't take in a large amount of cats because of their renovation work. There's nothing they can do about that. So at the moment, we're feeling very sad looking at all these other cats that are here, please feed me, but we can't start feeding them because we can't afford to keep feeding them all. But just as equally, we can't catch them either because we'd have nowhere to take them.
Well, thanks for telling us about that. I wasn't aware of that. I don't know. The MSPCA know all about this situation, presumably.
Well, yes. As I say, when I bobbed in, last year when we borrowed there, could you pay a deposit which is returnable for borrowing their cat trap? So when we borrowed it and caught the two which we've now had since last year, not a problem. Just went in, they had one. But when I went in this time, she said, oh, unfortunately, if you were to bring in, say, six cats one after the other, we can't accommodate them because they've only got their isolation area at the moment, because they've got nowhere to move the cats onto because they're having all their cattery rebuilt.
Okay.
Which is fair enough. They can't do anything about that. So it's been, oh gosh, probably longer than 6 weeks now. And we were third on the waiting list for borrowing the cat trap at that point.
And, you know, it's not the cat's fault. They didn't ask to be born.
No. And I think probably traditionally with all the farming that did go on round here, there was plenty of vermin for them to catch, etc., but there isn't that much farming now, and there isn't the vermin's not the same, and I think they've eaten the food supply, and nobody can really afford to keep feeding all these cats because it's not cheap, and now they're just looking for food all the time, and they're coming to people's houses. As I say, the other lady up the road caught one in a polecat trap inside their hen house.
Crikey. All right, Jenny, appreciate that. Thanks for calling.
Okay, take care.
Good
Bye.
To hear from you. It's 12:45 live on Manx Radio. I was in a taxi last week, says Texter 382, first time in a while. Can they make it compulsory to have their licence number and driver ID in the back visible? It would help with safety. It's on the back of the car, isn't it? Is it not inside the vehicle as well? And do taxis have sick bags like the boat, ready for that terrible drunk ride home? Have a good day, says 382. £100 for a soiled taxi. I didn't know it was that much.
Here at Qplas, we're not just blue, we're green. From smart boilers to heat pumps, Qplas supply products from the leading brands in renewable energy for a cleaner, greener home. So call into Qplas on Snugborough Trading Estate, the island's largest independent plumbing and heating merchants for trade and retail. Or call 673 131 to talk to our friendly experts about the latest cost-effective products in home heating and find out what we can do for you at Qplas.
Mike has got the Conister feeling. Because despite his busy life, getting the finance to sort some home improvements was quicker and easier than he ever dreamt with Conister Bank.
Got me feeling good, got me feeling good, got me feeling good, good, got me feeling good, good, yeah!
Ooh, and not even Conister can help improve his singing. Apply online today at conisterbank.co.in and you'll get the Conister feeling too. All loans are subject to status. Terms and conditions apply. Early settlement fees apply.
Are you a reluctant landlord? Tired of tenant hassles? Cursed by constant maintenance? Tormented by empty properties producing no rent? Want to escape these worries or get out altogether?
At Prime Lettings, we understand your pain and have bespoke solutions to release you from these problems. Ring us on 616 707 for a free confidential chat.
Prime Lettings. We're on call and on the ball at 616 707.
Hello. On this evening's Spotlight, we speak to Christine Collister about Children of the Sea, her wonderful book of art and music, plus her forthcoming concert at the Peel Centenary Centre. Hear about the incredible Gaia installation at St Thomas's Church. Chat about research for a healing tapestry with Herbal Ambassador Jane Prescott. And it's here. The Guild starts this weekend. That's Spotlight, tonight, just after 6, and available as a podcast straight after broadcast via the Manx Radio website. Spotlight, the performance of art.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
12 minutes now before one. Thank you, Val, who says the last buses. It's midnight 15. Douglas to Peel, South and Ramsey. Sept TT when Thursday of practice week through to Sunday the 8th. It's going to be 1:15 a.m. from Douglas to all three directions. So midnight 15, Douglas to Peel, South and Ramsey, except during TT. Last buses from Peel to Douglas, 23:35 and midnight 45. I would have gone to Peel to the talk, but I had prior arrangements. You're excused, Val, you've had a note. As per usual, says Jay, the people in power aren't seeing the bigger picture. People will go home from a night out earlier, therefore not spending in the pub or wherever for that extra hour, taking yet more money away from an under-pressure industry. Hospitality is doomed on the rock, I fear. Thank you, Jay, on 828. Good to hear from you. I don't buy into the usual, well, it's happening everywhere else, so we'll follow. From taxis to potholes to dentists to doctors to airports to mail to double NI for people who want to improve their income. We need MHKs with vision to address these issues. All we have is a bunch of nodding animals in for themselves, says Paul on 715. Well, that's your opinion. Thank you, Paul, for that. And also, if I remember correctly, here says Ramsey Man, 259. I remember correctly. Loonies used to own the building they're in. Well, we don't know, really. I mean, it's up to them whether they close or not. They've said that their property ownership is one of the reasons. They are closed today, but there will be a closing down sale, and you'll hear about it here on... Can you imagine? No more Loonies of Ramsey commercials on the radio. Plenty of taxis at the airport, 7 to 12 taxis first thing in the morning. The trouble is, there were four flights in within 45 minutes, says Les on 450. Can I say also several times this week, I sit there for 2 to 4 hours waiting on a flight and don't move, says Les. Thank you, Les. I think everybody understands the quandary that taxi drivers will be in that you can sit at the airport waiting for a flight and the darn thing will be delayed for an hour or more. And, you know, you may lose. And, of course, there's always the bagatelle of being a taxi at the airport and getting a fare to Port Erin or getting a fare to the other side of Castletown as opposed to Ramsey or Balaff. That's the gamble. Now, what we do about it, well, that's another matter. I remember Gary Cobb was on and he said, you know, taxis really aren't that much to do with the airport.
Interesting comment on airport taxes, says Richie B. Oh, that one's come through again. Thank you, Richie, for that. Our Moggy, we'll say cat, is chipped. No big deal. The good thing is about it, though, it allows only her through the cat flap, says Jakey. We had a message also in from a farmer who just said, the farms need cats. Cat microchips trial run for people, says Paul. Apparently, Paul's a World Health. The WHO pandemic treaty kicks in. Apparently, we're all going to be microchipped. And according to some people, we've already been microchipped. According to some people, anyway. Don't look at me. Please pass my details on to your cat lady. We need some new farm cats. We have none. We've approached the MSPCA looking for new cats. So we'll pass that on to Jenny. Thank you for that, 032. And thanks also to... I go to Site Matters from Glenvine, and I'm often charged different prices for the route in different taxis. I wonder why that is, says Tick 627. If somebody's sick in your taxi, you have to take the taxi. If you're the road for cleaning and drying is maybe fumigating. Oh, sorry, says Dan. If somebody throws up in your taxi, your shift is over. Nobody pays for your loss of earnings. So that money pays for cleaning and drying and even perhaps fumigating. That was just a message that came in, just said, what happens if somebody throws up in a taxi? How much is it? It's £100.
Journey to a Dream, the podcast that takes you behind the handlebars of motorcycle racing's ultimate challenge, roads on the Isle of Man.
I didn't realise normal people could race motorbikes. I thought it was something on TV or for superheroes.
From the thrill of the speed to the allure of the island's mystique, join me, Beth Espy, as we unravel the passion that drives these riders to push the limits.
Childhood dream, you know, it's something I've always wanted from since being a kid.
Journey to a Dream, available now at manxradio.com or your usual podcast provider.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
I used to be a taxi driver. I had several punters who fouled the cab. Getting that fee is virtually impossible, says Juan 715. £100 seems fair to me, says 535. If somebody fouls a taxi, not only does the driver have to clean up the mess, but they have to wait for the area to dry. And they lose the trade, says L. I think we all appreciate that, and we all sympathise with the taxi drivers as for that. 12:15 from Douglas. 12:15 Fridays and Saturdays. If you don't feed the cats, they'll fend for themselves. Many years ago, there were lots of wild cats in the hills of Laurel Bank. So relax and let them be. The last spill kit I purchased was £19. Then the car had to be valeted for £65, and the car's off the road until that's done. So all that money lost. We sympathise with every taxi driver. And if you are a taxi driver, I do hope you remain unvomited on. Ballacameen tonight. 5:30, doors open, 6 through till 8 o'clock. Members of Comin will be there. Alfred Cannon, Daphne Kane, Tim Johnson, Claire Barber, Laurie Hooper, Jane Paul Wilson, Tim Crookall and Alex Allenson will be there tonight at Ballacoleen. Tomorrow, it's Ramsey Grammar School. They're listening to you and will be tonight. Oh, stick around. Kelly's Eye is on. 60th anniversary Kelly's Eye on Woodburn Road. And back tomorrow live at Castle Rushen High School.
W-I-N-T.
60 years serving you as the nation station. This is Manx Radio.
Kelly's Eye, brought to you by Ellis Brown Architects.
Peter, what's Kelly's Eye looking at today?
We're here on Woodburn Road, trying to avoid traffic going past, which is always a nuisance. We're standing in the entrance of the Church of Latter-day Saints, and we're looking at the new maples, which is a series of what appears to be 5 houses.
Not as elaborate as the previous building, of course.
Not quite, but what surprised me was that the mouldings and the terracotta and that date stone of 1888 or whatever it was were carefully taken down.
Yeah.
But they were put into crates and no doubt shipped away and sold on eBay or something. The roof pitch is probably not quite as steep as it should be, but obviously it's wasted roof space. It's got trusses, it's not got attics. And you've actually got a mixture of oblong bays and octagonal, well, they're not octagonal, but it's what they're referred to. There's only three sides on them. Angled bays. The angled bays don't go quite all the way up, and what goes up behind them is actually castellated or crenellated on the top of which a section of the old house was.
They've got doors halfway up the wall.
They have. They're French windows, or as the advert says, a French widow in every room. And they're going to have balconies. That shows on the little drawing down there. Unfortunately, unfortunately, they're going to be metal balconies. And really, if they were built in Victorian times, they'd have taken a slab through and they would have had balustrading, which I think would have been more appropriate than this sort of Spanish balcony business, which tend to rust, or even if they're aluminium, they get pitted. Generally speaking, yeah, there's a good job. To Kelly's eye, of course, what is wrong is the windows, not because they're in new PVC, but because they're so slender. And if you look up the road at the next house, the bay window, they're admittedly a different style. These mullions, these verticals, tended to be at least 4 inches thick, and that's where they've gone wrong here. That they're too spindly, and they don't look as if they could hold the rest of the building up.
But otherwise,
yeah, fine. I think it's a credit to whoever the architect was and to the developer, for obviously he's paid for this, decided to do it in this style. Well done, and I hope you're successful in selling your houses.
Many of the most iconic buildings around the island have been designed by Ellis Brown Architects. Keep up with Ellis Brown today on Facebook or via ellisbrown.in.
Part of Island Life for 60 years. This is your Manx Radio.